Hey, good morning, Bereshis Rabbi Crown. So we are on Chaf Daf Chaf Beis. We're actually going to start on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph at the beginning of the new parak, just to catch ourselves up. So the Mishnah there says, Hanosa Saisha, someone marries a woman, Upaska Imo, and she made an agreement with him, Kdeshi Yizonas Bita Chamishana, that he will support a daughter that she has from a previous marriage for 5 years. Then, if she makes that agreement with him, he has to take care of her for 5 years. And again, this isn't what's in her ksuba, but this is just an incremental agreement between the two. Nisus la'achar, after that, he divorces her, and nisus la'achar, and she marries another person. So again, she was married to one person, had a daughter. She married person two, and when she married person two, he agreed to support her for 5 years. And then they got divorced, and now she's marrying person three, Upaska Imo, and she makes a deal with him, Kadesh Yazan is Bita Chamishanim, that he should also support the daughter for 5 years. Chayv Lazuna Chamishanim, he too is obligated to support for 5 years. So the fact that you have these two different, a second and a third husband, doesn't impact the other. Voyo Maharishan, and number two, can say, when she comes to me, I'll take care of her. He has to bring the food or the money for the food to wherever the mother actually is. And the two of them can't come together, and they can't say, we'll split it together, right? If she needs $100 a month, we'll each give $50 a month. But one actually feeds her. One gives her the money equivalent of what she is entitled to. Nisays, then if that girl gets married, right, Habal no simla mizonos, her husband has to provide her with food, that's part of her ksuba. Vehein no sala dmei mizonos, and they each still have to give her the monetary worth of the food in money. Mesu, and if husband two or husband three died, and then their property goes to their heirs. Benosehen ezonos b'nechasim b'nei chorin. Their own daughters are supported by only b'nei chorin, but only by property that is not secured by the property, right? So it has to be free and open property. However, this girl, nezonos b'nechasim b'shubadim, she can be supported as well from encumbered property, because she has basically a legal debt. So pichim, and the people that were smart, how you coast, and what they would do is they would write down al menash azer bicha chamishanim. I'll support your daughter for 5 years. Kolz man sha'ati mi, as long as you're continuing to be married to me. So if I die or if I get divorced, that arrangement ends. So Gemara is going to bring about a different case, and what it's going to try to do is somehow use our Mishnah to prove one of the different participants. So Itmar, Omer Chavero, someone says to someone else, Chayev ani lecha mana. You know what? I owe you a mana from a prior debt. So there's not like a formal signed witness document. He just basically acknowledges that he owes this mana. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev. Rabbi Yochanan says that's enough for him to have to pay her. Reish Lakish Amar Pater. Reish Lakish, no, he says no, he's exempt from paying it. So, hey Chidami, what is this case? Eid Arma Lahu Atem Edim. Is it a case where what he did is there are other people standing around, and he says in front of them, I'm admitting this debt, and you're my witnesses that I admit this debt. So therefore, again, we have Rabbi Yochanan says that you have to pay this debt, and Reish Lakish says you don't have to pay this debt. So if what he did is he said to the witnesses, you are my witnesses that I owe this, my time of the Reish Lakish departed. Why would Reish Lakish say you're not required to do it? Because there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin that basically says if you do just this, if you acknowledge in front of witnesses that you owe a debt, that you're required to pay the debt. But if he did not say this in front of witnesses, Atem Eidai, he didn't make them into his witnesses. My time is Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev. Why did Rabbi Yochanan say that she's Chayev, that he's the person is Chayev to pay the other person? Because again, similarly, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if you make this admission, it only works if you do it in front of witnesses. So again, if it's So why would Rabbi Yochanan say it works if it wasn't in front of Edim? And why would Reish Lakish say it doesn't work if it was in front of Edim? So the Gemara answers, he did not say to the people standing around, Atem Eja, you are my witnesses. V'hachav amai askina, what's the case that we're talking about here? Darmalei chayev ani lecha mana b'shtar. He says, the way he communicates that he owes this mana is he basically gives the guy an IOU. So it's not a signed shtar, but it's basically writes down, I owe you a mana. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayev, by virtue of giving him this IOU document, Rabbi Yochanan says that's good enough, and he's Chayev. Ilma Milsa, the shtara commander Amalahu Atem Adin Demei, that the existence of a note, even though it's not signed, establishes it as if he said to other people, guess what, please be witnesses that I owe this. Just writing it down gives it a certain status. Reish Lakish Amar Patr. Reish Lakish says, no, this doesn't work. Well, Ilma Milsa the shtara, because this unsigned IOU written on the back of a napkin is not really worth very much in his view. So, we have these two opinions, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right? Rav Yochanan says you would have to pay. Reish Lakish says you wouldn't have to pay. So what the Gemara is going to try to do now is use our Mishnah to somehow prove Rav Yochanan. Tanah, we learned in our Mishnah. Noses, Isha, Paschal, Yimel, Lazunas, Bita, Chamisharim. They have this agreement to support the girl for 5 years. Chayv Lazuna, Chamisharim. He has to support her for 5 years. So, me like Kahai Gavna, maybe our Mishnah is the same kind of case, where the husband is admitting to the debt, and he's giving her basically an IOU that says, I owe you this money, and the Mishnah says that he has to pay. So this maybe aligns with the view of Rav Yochanan, that you have to pay when you get an IOU. So go into Kaf Beis. This isn't the same thing. Bishtare psiksa. What we're talking about in our case of the Mishnah is equivalent to where there's a documentation of the financial arrangement. So there really was a shtar that said what the father agreed to, and it was done in front of regular witnesses. So it's not the same thing as an unsigned IAU. And this follows the opinion of Rav Gidel. This is that what Rav Gidel says. I'm Rav Gidel, I'm a Rav. So when you have a situation before a couple gets married where the father of the bride and the groom are sitting together and they say, how much are you going to kick in? How much are you going to give to your son? He says, I'll give X. How much are you going to give to your daughter? How much are you going to kick in? So they kind of both agree how much they're kicking into the marriage. And then what they did is they went right from there and they carried out the kiddushin, then it works. And what happened here is they didn't really do any formal kinyan. They just basically agreed amongst themselves about doing this, and they went ahead and get married. So they made this legally binding agreement strictly through a verbal agreement. So there wasn't any special act of kinyan. But in our Mishnah, there was this shtar, the shtar psikta that had this document, so it doesn't really prove anything. So again, we can't use our Mishnah to prove that Rav Yochanan's position is okay. So we're going to try other things to prove Rav Yochanan. Tashma, so there's another Mishnah. Kasav l'choein shani chayiv l'chabein shleim. So you have a situation of a pidyon haben. With a pidyon haben, the father has to give the kohen 5 silver coins to redeem the son. So he writes him a shtar that says, I owe you 5 slayim, which is the same amount that you would do it. Chayiv liton lo chamesh slayim, that obligates him to pay the kohen 5 slayim. Uvno eno padoy, but it does not work for pidyon haben, because that document is then viewed as him just acknowledging that he had a prior debt, and therefore you can't consider... that this is a situation where that note that says that I owe you is equivalent to the 5 slime that I would give him to redeem it. So following Reish Lakish, that shouldn't work, right? Like we said earlier, if we follow Reish Lakish, so therefore if that shouldn't work, then he should be able to use this to by paying the kohen 5 slime, it should work. And according to Rav Yochanan, where he says that means he has to pay him the debt, it makes sense that the fact that he wrote him this thing that says, I owe you 5 slayim, that just means that he owes him as if there's a prior debt and has no bearing on the fact that there's a need for him to pay 5 slayim for purposes of the pidyon haben. Where it doesn't like this, shiny hasam, this is different, this doesn't work. Why? the mishubile midaraisa, because there's a chi of the araisa to pay the kohen 5 coins for purposes of the pidyon ben. So according to the Reish Lakish, that this takes effect not because it's valid, not because this is a valid agreement, you know, that document creates a valid prior obligation, but it makes it more, it more solidifies that this is a debt that's coming out of the chiyav of the pidyon ben. So the chiyav of the araisa chiyav of the pidyon ben makes it stronger, even though Reish Lakish would normally say that that type of thing doesn't work. So Gemara asks, ihachi, if this is a chiyav d'areisa, my kasav, why did he have to write a note at all? Why did he have to go through this? Why didn't he just take 5 coins and give it to the kohen? Why he did this, kedei levar lo kohen. He wanted to pick a particular kohen. He wanted to make Adam his kohen. So he wrote, Adam, I owe you 5 slime, because he wanted him to be the guy that would do the pinyon of Ben. Ihachi, if it strengthens this d'areisa about this kohen, but no amai enopadoi. So why would he not then, using that note, use it to redeem the son, right, when he pays it? Why is it, again, still viewed as paying off the note is really paying off a debt, and it doesn't really do anything? Kidda Ula, this follows the position of Ula, the Amr Ula, Davar Torah Padue L'chshiyiten. Bida Areisa, when he gives the money to the Kohen paying off this shtar, it should work. Right, umay taima amru bano eno padoi. Why do we say this doesn't work? It's a gzeira, simply a rabbinic gzeira. Shema yomru podim b'shtar. So people might think, you know what? I don't have to really redeem with purposes with using 5 slime. What I could do is, if I owe Arnon 5 slime and I have a document, I can give that. You know, Arnon could take that document and give it to Adam to redeem Arnon's male firstborn. So that's why they establish it that way. So we still have this disagreement of Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So Amar Rabba Ketanai. This follows a Machlokas Tanaim. What is it? Arev Hayotze Achar Chitim Shtara. So you have a shtar, a loan document that is written and signed by witnesses. And underneath that, underneath the signatures of the witnesses, it's written down, person X says, and I guarantee this loan, right? Someone who the lender can collect from that guarantor's unencumbered properties. Because this wasn't, the document was done in front of witnesses. It is a valid assumption of liability. But again, the guy signed it after the witnesses. So it really was like an afterthought. So Masa Balifnei Rabbi Yishmael, they came in front of Rabbi Yishmael, the Amr, and he said, the guarantee is not signed. So the loan is signed, and underneath it, you know, it says, I, Jonathan Rachwager, commit to guaranteeing this loan. It does, but that part is not, there's no witnesses to that part of it, correct. Masa Balifnei Rabbi Yishmael V'Amar, and they came in for Rabbi Yishmael, and they said, Gova Mimin Chasim B'nei Chorim, you can collect only from unencumbered properties. Amar Lo Benanas, Benanas didn't like this. He said, Eino Gova, you shouldn't be allowed to collect here. Lo menechasim b'nei chorim, not from free properties. Lo menechasim mishubadim, not from encumbered properties. Armalo, lama, he says, why? You know, so this is a disagreement. Armalo, he said to him, hare shayachonik eschavir b'shuk. It says, if someone is strangling, someone who is owed money is strangling the guy that owes him money in the market, saying, hey, pay me, pay me, pay me. Umasa chavir, and his friend comes along, v'armalo, and he says to him, Hanacha, leave him alone. Vani etem lecha. Leave him alone and I'll pay you. Pater, the guy's not obligated to pay the loan. Why? Shlo el amuna halvahu. That the loan was not done based upon the third party. When the loan was done, it was done between party A and party B. The fact that another person comes along later on and says, don't worry, I'll cover it, does not necessarily obligate him to do anything because it wasn't the basis of the loan. So Lema, therefore, we might say, Rabbi Yochanan to Amar Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan follows Rabbi Yishmael, who says that you would have to pay. Reish Lakish to Amar Kiven Nana. So Reish Lakish follows Ben Nanas, who says that you don't have to pay. So maybe there's a, you could say that this is parallel, and therefore the two things, you know, the four opinions are really the same two opinions. So the Gemara doesn't like this, and says there's a difference between someone who guarantees and someone who, where there's a money owed. Aliba de Benanas, according to Benanas, kule ama lo plige, everyone would agree that just having an IOU about an unsigned IOU doesn't make it work. So maybe that doesn't work to have to establish that there's a difference between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yishmael says. Go to Amud Beis. He plige. But how do they disagree? Aliyah by the Rabbi Yishmael. They disagree according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yochanan clearly follows Rabbi Yishmael because both of them say that you would pay. Reish Lakish, he would argue about this. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yishmael hasam ela d'shayach leyushu with the daraisa. Rabbi Yishmael said his thing about the guarantor only because the guarantor has, you know, he has this chiyuv, and it's only through a verbal commitment. There's no kinyan being made here. He's verbally saying one way or the other that he's doing that. So Rabbi Yishmael would say that a guarantee can be done through a verbal commitment. And if a guarantee can be done through a verbal commitment, that certainly could also apply when you give someone an IOU for an actual loan. So avahacha, in the case of this disagreement, you're not talking about a debt. Lo shayach shibud daraisa. That doesn't fit into the category of it being a daraisa. So just as a debt can't be done through a verbal agreement, it can't be done through a unsigned IOU. So it can't bring a new debt. So therefore, Rabbi Yishmael must be the one who must also agree that it wouldn't work. So what did we learn about Rav Gidl earlier? Rav Gidl said, you know, something about a kinyan. Gufa, this is what it said. I'm Rav Gidl, I'm a Rav. This is about how much they're each going to give. Then they got up and they married, and it caused it to happen. In this case, this Kenyan, quote unquote, there's no real Kenyan. They're getting an agreement simply by their speech. So I'm a Rav. Maybe it makes sense where the girl is a Nara. The kamatne hanali day. So any suba that she's going to get is going to go to the father, right? So he's going to benefit. Aval bulgaris, but an older girl, dilamate hanali day. Any benefit doesn't come to him; it comes to his daughter. Well, it doesn't work. So maybe because the father is going to get hana, maybe that's why it's worked. Valokim, but I disagree. I'm a rav afil bulgaris. That should work also in the case of a bulgaris. Dilo temahachi. If you won't say this, you have a different problem. Aviha ben, the father of the son, mahana asalide, what benefit does he get? Right? Either way, he's not getting any money. He's responsible for his son giving money. He gets the satisfaction of seeing his children married off. So the fathers both get the satisfaction either way of seeing their children married off, and that's good enough for them to obligate them. So they're obligated themselves because they're happy about their children getting married, and that's good enough to make that happen. So with this, we'll pause. We'll pick up again tomorrow. But for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.